Exodus. And I'll be in chapter 28, but we'll be, as usual, all over the Bible and a pretty good amount in Exodus. I'm going to start on kind of a new series. I don't know if I'll preach. I got two messages on it that I really want to preach. One of them I really wanted to preach today, but it just wasn't the Lord's day for it. I'll preach probably next Sunday morning out of Leviticus. I'm very excited about it and its application to obedience, because I want to talk a little bit about obedience. And obedience, and what the keys it unlocks, and how obedience comes first. And tonight we'll hit on a little bit, and Sunday, next Sunday morning we'll probably hit on it more. I think obedience is underrated, and so he desires obedience. The Bible says, and simple obedience, obeying God. And so I'm going to title this series "A Power of Obedience," and the first message I'm going to call whom he equips, whom he calls. He equips whom that he calls. And start from there. And so we will go there. Exodus 28 and verse 1. "And thou shalt take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." By the way, all Aaron's sons, some of his sons got in big trouble with God, got killed. And it's interesting, God still picked them out. And God lets free will play itself out many times. And I don't, somebody says, that person, if they were saved, or that person, if they were called, they would never have done that. Man, you haven't read your Bible. Noah did some things that were pretty bad, and he's a pretty good guy. And not to minimize doing bad, but David did some bad things, and I think he was saved. But you can choose to do wrong. But God called them. "And thou shalt take the holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate them, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and for his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So these are the ones that are going to be the priests, and they're going to wear a certain set of outfits, and you're going to use the people that I have given the wisdom to go and make these garments. Literally, God designed people to make the priest's garments. And God filled them with wisdom to do that. And we've had over the years, had a big problem finding modest clothing for our daughters. Our culture doesn't tend towards modesty, let's say. So we've always had a problem with that. I was thinking lately, you know, we've looked and looked and tried things. And there's a lot of other conservative Christians who want their daughters not to dress like the world and worldly and immodestly, because the Bible commands that so often, to women to dress modestly. And it's hard to find. I thought, man, we should just start our own business and sell modest clothing for girls. I bet it'd be awesome. But we got to have the skilled people to do it. We're a little busy. But I think that'd be a great idea. But God designs people to do a job. And if God was going to lead me to do that, he would give me the people who could do that. Or he would give me the ability. I'd be like, if I get a button on. He would give us those abilities. Because God, when he asks somebody to do something, he gives them the ability to do it. He says, "I got a guy to make the garments, use him." Whom God calls, God equips. Let's pray and we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the words of God. Thank you that we can see this truth. It's throughout Scripture, Lord, and we can see it in many places. And I pray that we would not just see it, but apply it to us ourselves personally. And Lord, I pray your spirit to speak to us, Lord. Maybe tonight is a night where you're going to have revival break out, and we're going to repent and become godly and thirsty for you like never before. That's not what the message is about, Lord, but we want you to have freedom to move as you would choose. We do pray that your spirit would move powerfully, Father. Whatever the case, whatever you need to do tonight, we ask you would do it and do it powerfully. We ask for the Spirit's power, and we claim your promise: "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" We claim that promise tonight and ask you to bless and speak in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord filled some people with the ability to do a certain job. Somebody once said, "Whom God calls, God equips." Somebody else also said, God equips those he has called. I think both of those statements are true. I think God, when he gives you a job to do, he would never not give you the ability to go do that job. All right, Brian, come on up here for a sec. You got a kid in your lap? You can get him off your lap. All right, so I say, all right, Brian, we have got to have another church van. Go buy one. I don't want a junker, though. I probably want one that's at least $3,000. So go buy one.
Need to be equipped.
Okay. Would I be a good leader? He always says it. He always says this to me. I don't know what this is about. But would I be a good leader if I did that? Would it be ethical for me to tell him to go do something he cannot do? He can't buy a dollar menu burger for me. Would I?
I'm seeing if I can. Huh, I can buy 20 of them.
But I would not call him to do something he could not do. Okay? You can be seated.
$3,000.
I wouldn't get a van, I bet, if I did it. You'd get all your bills paid, though. If I was going to call him to do something, I'd equip him to do it. Now, God may tell him, go out and buy a van today, and God may give him between here and the car dealership $3,000. Let's do that. But that might happen. But I am not going to call somebody to do something that they cannot do and not give them the ability to do it. I might give him the ability to do it by giving something to him or giving him the money. I might go with him and he finds the van that I'll go pay for it or whatever. However, I'm not going to call somebody to do something I'm not going to equip them to do. Nor does God ever do that. God says this in many ways. Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so he says God works in you to do his pleasure, but then he also to will his good pleasure, to be desire to do it, but then also he works in your heart to do what he's put in your heart to do. He gives you strength to fulfill the desires that he has given you. He worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. Hebrews 13:21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul phrased it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God gives you the equipment, the ability to do something. I might say, where's Timothy? Is he in here somewhere? And so Timmy, I might say, Timmy, go hammer a nail into the wall. And then he might say, where's the nail and hammer? I say, you don't need one, just go do it. But if I don't give him a hammer and a nail, don't do that. If I don't give him the hammer and the nail, I'm not going to call him to do it. I've got to have the hammer. I've got to have the nail because I'm calling him to do something that I want him to do. Let's say I have all the resources. I want that done. I want the nail on the wall. I want the van bought. If I have all resources, then I will give them what they need gladly because I want the van and I want the nail on the wall. And God has all the resources in the universe. And if he calls you to do something, he is going to give you the ability to do it because God works in you to do those things. And we find this very consistently through Scripture. So how does he do that? Sometimes he does it naturally. It appears in this passage, the men who were making the garments, God put the spirit of wisdom in them. We don't know in this case, but we see in other passages in the Bible, and we'll read them, God put the ability for someone naturally to do something. So God says here, you have the ability to do this thing, and you got a gift, we'll call it, a gift to go do this thing. And so you can do this thing. I am a very good driver, and God gave me that ability. And so I can go drive the church shuttle. I can drive the church van. I drive 5 different vehicles every single week. And by God's grace, this far, I've never crashed a church vehicle. I've had people hit me all the time, but I have that ability. Now, that does not mean that I can't crash. That does not mean that if I get proud, God won't humble me. Doesn't mean any of those things. I'm just saying that's a gift God gave me. I don't need to get in the car and say, God, I cannot turn this corner unless you give me a miracle here. No, I've given the physical ability to do that. I understand without him I can do nothing, but he has given me that ability to do that. If you're a friendly person, God's given you the ability to walk up and say hi to somebody. Oh God, help me to say hi! He's given you the ability to do that. And that's a gift from him, and every good gift comes from him. And it's something God gives you the ability to do. Sometimes God, and we'll find people, God gave some, and we'll read some passages, God gave some people ability with wood in the Bible. And they were supposed to make things out of wood. He gave some people abilities with curtains, and they made curtains. And he had some people with abilities to form gold. And God put a spirit of wisdom in there to do that thing. And sometimes it's a natural gift. Sometimes you can do that thing, and understanding without God, you can't do anything. You always depend on God for everything. I understand that. But I'm saying that God does give you a gift where you don't need a miracle after that gift that God has put into you to do that thing. God has given you a certain gift, and you can do that thing. And that's good, and that's wonderful, and that's a gift from God, and that's a miracle. God made you have the ability. But sometimes God gives you a supernatural ability where you have to do something that is not physically possible for you to do. That God make you born with it or put some kind of wisdom for you to do that thing. And then we have what's called a miracle. Now, all of it's a miracle, understanding that. However, when David went in with Goliath, he did not have that ability. He needed a miracle to kill Goliath. He needed God to do something instantly. And so God can work either one of those ways. He can, like he said to Isaiah, I ordained you in the womb to be a prophet. And I can give you a miraculous ability, and I can form you into something. And he can do it either way. He can give you the ability. Tonight, we might need to stack some chairs. And God might have given you a good back and strong arms, and you can stack a chair. Praise God. Not everybody can do that, and that's a gift from God. But some of you this week might need to do something that's beyond what the physical abilities that God gave you to do. Either one God can do, and either way God can work, by giving you miraculous abilities or by giving you supernatural abilities. I don't have the technical skills that Brett has. I would hammer computers to bits if I had to work on computers and figure all that stuff out. I've got enough ability to turn it on. I can click my email. Now, ready? If I had to, God could give me the ability, if there's no one else to do it, to do what needed done. And I could miraculously get this ability to work on a computer. But God gave him skill, or Tony, the skills to do that thing. And he makes people like that weird. But he makes people like that gifted, and we'll call them gifted. And God will give them those abilities to do that stuff, and they can do it. And praise God for that. And those are abilities that God gives them. And we're excited they have that ability. I used to always, when I saw blood, get sick and pass out. And I'd go, that's a bad cut. Not quite as bad anymore, but don't make me look too closely. And don't show me your dislocated things. Look, I dislocated my elbow. It's pointing the wrong way. Don't show me that. And I don't like seeing that stuff. But if all of a sudden I'm the only person around and I need to start saving somebody from bleeding to death, I go, God, I can't do this. You've got to help me. Now, another person, they're gifted. They can look at blood and say, huh, look at that red liquid. That's no big deal. And they bandage it up. But somebody else might need a miracle. So there's a natural ability and there's a miracle. God uses both ways. And he puts in people these abilities to do these things. Both of them are fine. Both of them are good. And God gives those to you. Either way, if God's going to give you something to do it, he's going to give you the natural ability, or he's going to give you a miracle to get it done. You know the first website I put up? I did. And it worked. It was a fine website, worked good enough for the day in 1999, and it worked, and I even got compliments on it. Now, was it the top of the line website? No. And I prayed, God, help me with this. I didn't even understand a website. And somehow I got a website up enough so somebody could click on it, find out about church, and get to church. And praise God. I had to really pray about that. You, God will give you either one of those abilities, and he equips us somehow. He gives you the ability. And so, first of all, how does he do that? Sometimes he puts in you what you will need. So we're kind of talking about that right now. Let's go to Exodus. Let's look at some other passages in Exodus. 28 verse 3, it says, And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Let's go forward to Exodus chapter 31. They're making the tabernacle here. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have called by name Beziel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones and to set them, and in carving the timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholadab, the son of Ahishamath, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Do you see how God made these people and gave them the ability? And in this case, I believe some was physical ability, and I believe some was spiritual ability. I think these people were already stonemasons and people who could do these different things, and I think they also got a supernatural ability to God to make it just like God wanted them designed. That's what these passages look like when you read these different things. And Exodus chapter 35, and verse 31. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and devised curious works to work in gold and silver and in brass, and the cutting of stone to set them, and the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholadab, the son of Ahishamath of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver, and of the cunning workmen, of the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. You can see these passages are obviously, here are some men ordained, God put in them the ability to do it. Chapter 36, then wrought Baziel and Aholadab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord commanded. And Moses called Baziel and Aholadab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the heart of the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart stirred him to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses an offering, which the children of Israel brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. So we're seeing here all these natural abilities. We're seeing all these blessings. We're seeing all these gifts. We're seeing this. And are you getting the idea? Just in Exodus, how many times God said, I prepared somebody to do this job? The God said, I put the ability in them. I called them to do it, and I've equipped them to do it. Go to them, Moses. They are equipped to do the job that they need to do. Whom I called, I also equipped to do that job. This could be a design that God gave you and made you the one to do it, whether you know you have the ability or not. And that's very important right there. Because faith is going to come in at the end of the message, but faith obeys whether you know you have the ability or not. Whether you know you're capable or not, that is obedience, because God said, I have made you. You may not know you were made for that job. And many times in life, God will call you to do something you don't know you can do. And when you do it, you'll say, I did not realize I was made for this. But you didn't know it until you obeyed. A good example of this is Gideon. And let me take you to Judges. And Gideon had no idea that God had equipped him. And by the way, if you think hard enough, you'll find some other people in the Bible who did not know God had equipped them, and they were really nervous about it. And you'll find out they didn't think they could do it. But God had put it in them, and they had a great ability. And Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, and verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is an Orpha, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizarite, and the son of Gideon, thresh wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, if God's with us, why is everything going so bad? And verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. He's a guy hiding right now. And God says, you're the mighty man of valor. And he says, no, I'm not. And he says, no, you're mighty, and go in your might and deliver Israel. And he says, verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites. And guess what? He did an awesome job. He was blessed by God. God gave a miracle, but he was the man. And they all cried and said, he's our leader, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon. And they're excited. They follow Gideon into this dangerous battle because he was a man that God had ordained, but Gideon didn't know it. And guess what? He would have never known it and thought there was no way, that must have been a mistake, if he wouldn't have obeyed. If he wouldn't have obeyed. God puts in you what you need, and he does that. Number one, sometimes he puts in you what you will need. Sometimes his blessing, he blesses you Let me say that again. Sometimes his blessing is on what you have. Sometimes his blessing is on what you have, and that is enough. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 4. So sometimes you get the ability and God blesses you and you can do it. And sometimes God blesses what you have and it goes way farther than it should and works out and is above and beyond what you think it should be able to do. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses arguing with God. You think Moses knew he was made for that job? Read him on the mountain. And he keeps on arguing with God, saying, God, they aren't going to listen to me. I'm not worthy. I'm not able. I'm too slow of speech. I'm this. I'm that. He did not know. He was the perfect man to lead Israel. But he didn't know that about himself. He thought he was too much of a failure. Now, I think he knew he's called, but he did not know God would equip him. And God had to keep telling him, I'm going to equip you, Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said to Moses, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And then he said, see, I told you. And because he ran away from the thing he had in his hand, and he ran away from the staff. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, furthermore, put your hand in your bosom. So God said, you know what? What do you got, Moses? He said, I got a rod, a stick. God said, I'm going to bless that rod, and it's going to be enough. Because I called you, and it doesn't matter what you had. If you had a twig, or if you caught a frog in your pocket, it's going to be enough, because I'm going to bless it, and you're the man I called, and I'm going to equip you. And Moses could have had whatever he had. He could have picked up a dandelion. And he could have said, Pharaoh, the dandelion's going to get you. I don't know what anything he wanted to do, it would have been enough. Because God can bless whatever you give to him. And God said, I know what you have, Moses. You have a rod. I'll take that rod. And guess what? When Moses obeyed God, the rod was transformed. Watch this. Verse 18. And when Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren. He's obeying. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now it's God's because Moses obeyed. The rod of God. It was Moses' rod, and all he had was just that. And God said, that's plenty. I can bless a stick and make it change and lead a nation and part a Red Sea through a stick. I'm God. I have the resources. So I'll take the rod. And now it's the rod of God because you obeyed. And the rod of God will be plenty enough. And he calls the rod of God. Also calls it the rod of God in Exodus 17:9. And he says, I will lift the rod of God. See, God said, Moses said, what tools do I have? God said, what do you have? A rod? Fine. That's enough. I'll bless what you have. And if God's going to call you to go deliver Egypt, he's going to give you what you need to do it. If God's going to tell you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. Because God equips whom he calls. And God will equip you to do anything that you need to do. You might say, I can never be a soul winner. God's called you. He'll equip you. Oh no, I will stumble and be scared and forget the verses, and I won't even know what I'm saying. I'll be so scared. I remember Brother Roman talking about the first time he went witnessing, and a really pretty girl came to the door, and he got all the words off. Do you know if I died today? My name is Church, I want to know if you, and he said everything backward and did everything wrong. And you know what? When you go and obey and you just do what God wants you to do, eventually God's going to give you the help you'll need. He will help you to be a soul winner. If God wants you to teach a Sunday school class, God will give you the ability to teach a Sunday school class. You say, I'm not a good teacher. Hey, listen, what do you got? Anything you got will be enough if you'll give it to God, and God wants you to do it. God equips whom he calls. Moses said unto God, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since you spoke to me. I am slow of speech and have a slow tongue. I don't have that problem. Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? I have equipped your mouth, Moses. I can do that. Sometimes his blessing on you is enough. Next, the key is obedience. See, you might say, I don't see my equipping. And so I tell Brian, go buy the van. And Brian says, I don't have the money. Just obey. See, when you obey God, if I were God and I asked Brian to do that thing, what would happen is along the way, he would get the money, but he isn't going to get the money before he goes. Why? Because that requires no faith. I've already got a guy who's meeting him right up the street there, and that guy's going to walk up and said, God told me to give you $3,000. Or he's going to get the car dealership, and God's going to say, that's the van. And he's going to walk up, and the guy's going to say, you know what? God told me to give you this van. But he's not going to find that sitting here and saying, okay, God, as soon as you give me the money, I'm going to give it to you. No, he says, Moses, go. And until you obey in obedience, and that's what's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yet is the things not seen. You say, I believe God. I am going to obey because God is going. God called me to do it. He must be equipping me. Goliath needs killed. I'm going to be the one to do it. God must be ready to make my arm throw a rock real hard. But he believed God would equip him to do it when he obeyed God. God puts a dream in many people's hearts. I think 90% of the dreams and the visions that God gives people, they do not see a way, so they don't obey, and so that the dream never gets fulfilled. And God says, if you knew what was waiting for you, if you had obeyed me by faith. Whom God calls, God equips. Most people who go into the ministry get called and say what? And yet God says, you obey, I'll give you the ability that you need. The key is obedience. God has called you to do something. You better just do what he said to do, and he will give you the ability to do it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we find that God chooses people to do a job. And this is Solomon and David talking to him. And this is 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary, be strong and do it. And guess what? Solomon built a wonderful house of God because he trusted God and went forward. And guess what? The people were prepared to do it, and God did it. The key is having confidence in the God who is leading you and not confidence in yourself or your abilities. That's the key. Whom God calls, God equips. Let me give you some verses out of Proverbs about trusting God and not your own abilities. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The Lord shall be thy confidence. And the great example of this, of course, is having the confidence in one who's leading you, is God telling Moses, Moses, who made man's mouth? I will be with you. Go, talk to him. I look at the rod, look at the staff. I can do this thing. Gideon, you go, I will go with you. And then all of a sudden he turns down to this 300 people and he said, but you know what? God's leading me to do this. He must be able to work it out. And if you have to have everything answered and worked out, you will not be able to obey in faith. But whom God calls, God equips, God provides for, God takes care of. You know, in Open Doors history, in the history of this church, if you everything that you've ever thought that went really good and God really blessed, can I tell you, I started that thing God told me to, and then said, Lord, this is, I don't know how this is going to work. Because you attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. But if you just continue to say, I'm not going to do anything until it's worked out, you'll never do a work of faith, and that's just, you'll just be able to do the natural and normal. So God puts in your heart some big things sometimes. God puts some big visions on your heart. God can do great things with you when you'll believe God, when you trust the Lord, when you say, whom God calls, God equips. So if God, if you're leading me, you must be have a plan that I don't see, or you must do know something about me that I don't know, because I don't see how to work, but I am going to obey you, and that obedience triggers the blessings of God, and the provision comes along the way of obedience. Lepers were healed that way, by the way. Go and tell it as they went, they were healed. Obedience opens the doors of God's blessing and provision, and whom God calls, God equips, but he's only equips the obedient who trust him. And that's what I want you to do. If God tells you to do something, he could tell you to do 1,000 different things. I'm not talking about necessarily called the ministry. God may say, you know what, you need to dig yourself out of debt. And you say, I don't see any way I can do it. You obey and watch how God provides. God may call you to be a soul winner. God may call you to go and invite somebody to church you don't think will ever come. It does not matter. Just understand that if God calls you to do something, he's going to provide. He's not sending you without empty pockets, and you'll never have anything along the way. He might send you with empty pockets, but along the way, he will provide and give you the tools you need. Whom God calls, God equips. This is called faith, and it's for the obedient. The Lord is your confidence. God has called you to do something big. God has called you to do something important. Believe. And then what you do is after a while, you realize God always does it. And you just learn after a while, you just say, you want me to do what? All right. You better take care of this. And you're obeying. Instead of standing here saying, show me the way, show me, show me, show me, show me, show me. Where is it? Rain down money or something because I don't see the way. Those people never, and by the way, there's a multitude of people who never do anything for God because of lack of faith. God would not have called you. God would not have led you if he wasn't going to equip you. Believe God and dream big dreams for God, and believe if God has it for you to do, he's going to take care of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for enabling us both with physical natural abilities and with the supernatural things you have to provide. Thank you for Gideons and Davids who in the supernatural, and Moses who didn't see their own way and they didn't know that they had it, yet they obeyed in confidence in the Lord. And I pray that we'd be people who believe that whom God calls, God will equip. I pray we trust you enough to obey. I pray believe you. And I pray tonight that some of us, Lord, who failed to trust you maybe before, would tonight say, I believe that whom God calls, God is going to equip. And if he prepared all these people to make the gold and all these people to make the silver and all the people to make the woodwork and all the people to make the curtains and all the people to make the jewelry and all these things that are supposed to be made, Father, I pray that if you did all that for Moses and for Aaron and for Solomon and all these people who you give a job to do, you sent them the way. I pray we'd still realize you haven't changed. And that you can work in our lives and give us what we need. And that we would believe that you're a God who doesn't unjustly call us to do something you're not going to help us do. Please, Lord, help us to obey you in faith and to just realize you can do great things. And just take a stick and part an ocean. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed. The message tonight.